were kids, what did you do for fun?
Well, there was a time we made a homemade skis. We skied down the hills. And spring come, we had willow fish poles. We went fishing a lot down here.
Part
of Catherine Creek. And
part of it goes through our land.
Oh, we went picnicking. Done that. For some school days, country school days, we played baseball. Done a lot of that. And even some after we was out of school, we still played baseball some. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like to me, I was kind of like the young fella I used to know. He said that he was 16 years old, 14 years old maybe. And he didn't know what his name was. He said, "I thought my name was Kidwood." Well, I remember that wasn't the fun part of it, but we'd go to the hills and my dad and us boys, two of us boys mostly, we'd cut wood and we liked that, and camp out up there, you know. And I mentioned these pastures around here. And out there, the ranch here. And they said that they had 27 or 8 miles of fence. It seemed like I thought it must be 47 or 97. We've done a lot of, but it was fun. We camped out and built fence, and that was kind of a fun time. And, but mostly, country boys, we were pretty steady here on the ranch and helped. My old granddad, old Mike, the Lascelles, he paid his boys to work. We got the staggering big $3 a week for Hoy. We saved that money, those three older boys. That's $3 a week. And me sent to one. Mike sent to one young boy. We won bicycles. Mm. We had a lot of fun trips on those bicycles. Those bicycles in those days were very top of the line. One of the bells and whistle bicycles. $27.
Wow.
Well, there's been a little crazy price since
buying
the bicycles.
Yeah.
There was no two-speed to anything like that.
So did you each save up money for your own bikes, or did you?
Yeah, we saved up $3 a week. Well, easy math. It's 33. Paydays for,
For $27 for four
weeks.
About 9 weeks.
But it seemed like it was forever. Of course, mm-hmm. You get waiting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was it satisfying? Did the bikes meet your expectations?
Yeah. Chores, our chores help them. Folks with the chores help them help me. Those hand help in those days. But my brother and I, we could wheel those bikes from right here 20 miles to Elgin. And you could get a milkshake for 15 cents. Sunday afternoon, We wheel down bikes, we drive down to Elton. It's like Elton. Oh, early in the evening, maybe 5, 6 o'clock. We drive down and go around the foothill short of that way. But we only get a 15 cent milkshake and ride down bike bikes.
It's high for
money. We just move, we wheel along on those bicycles.
Really? Some of that's
hill
down
there.
Yeah, and that was dirt roads that you rode on?
Yeah. Well, over here in the Grand Joseph Highway, that was, maybe later on the fall. But I remember when they got the gravel road in here, that was 1928. Prior to that, it was a big talk. Get the gravel road to be an all-season highway. Boy, that was pretty high level. High all-season highway.
When were they doing that?
What?
They made the all-season, they were going to make the all-season highway?
The gravel.
When about was that? About what year? Do you remember?
1928. 29. Then electricity come. We got that 1948. Her and I lived here, as I mentioned earlier. Kerstin White's and his grandson, Prince Razor. Jeff, the oldest, the youngest boy, I had an old kerosene lantern hanging in the basement. You all know what that was. He said, did it make good light? Oh, not bad. Tell me about it. Well, you took the cap off here and poured in the kerosene and you had an old chimney that gets smoky in there. Like a horseshoe, you know. She lighted a match? I said, not with a match. It took two matches.
Oh.
Why'd you take two? Well, you light it. Then you light another match to see if it was burning. You want to know if it made a good light? Oh, yeah, it made good light. You know it didn't. Old smoking chimney and old kerosene lantern. There's an old kerosene lamp, you know.
Right there, yeah, yeah. I saw it.
Well, that's all we had when we moved here, those kinds. And then my folks had lived in Elgin, and they had a, had the mantles on them.
Coma.
Oh, yeah.
The old mantles, you know. So they made good light.
Yeah, they did that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were in high school, then you were in the Grand.
Yes, right.
Now, what did you do as a high school boy for fun?
Well, we didn't go out. We didn't go out for sports.
Why?
My dad, he was here on the ranch alone, pretty much. Mm-hmm. As far as his mom was here, but help. He'd say, tie your rent weekends up. Because I have chores that I want you boys to help me do over the weekend. I didn't get a hoot about sports. I'm not a...
None of them did, because they didn't have sports in their grade schools. Mm-hmm. And they didn't care who they played about. None of them did they?
No. Well, they had football games in school.
Mm-hmm.
I know they had baseball games.
Yeah, we did have football games. I talked to Mr. Roy Comstock.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. And they had football in the school.
But you kids never went to Cold School, though.
Hmm?
You kids never went to Cold School.
No, but the people in High Valley, they after their school days, they had a good baseball team. They called the town team. An old pioneer family up there. There's still some of those people, descendants of those pioneer people. Alexander, you heard that?
Yes.
One of those fellows, at least, had bright red hair, real red hair, almost there. And they called him Red Alec. Red Alec. Alexander.
Oh.
And he was one of the top baseball players, I think, of any place at that time.
Wow.
So they went out. Well, they had 4th of July celebrations around Cove, and they cranked up the cherry festival.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a kid, celebration Cove, cherry season, cherry picking time. It was a gala time. I'll have to tell you a little bit about that. One year we didn't go to Cove. Hay time, you couldn't stay off or anything like that. Over at Union, there's a lake over there, I think it's a little bit south and west of Union. And people live down there, their name is Goodblood. Goodblood. They went over there for a little change. I stole something.
From?
There's a little store, a little kind of a summer soda pop store down by Goodbye Bay. And I never had any money. Those days, kids didn't have money like kids do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
At least us kids did. And I saw kids drinking.
Most kids didn't have any money. Most kids didn't get any money.
No.
I didn't either. I didn't.
I saw kids chewing gum. And I was like, well, I wish I had some gum. And I went down to this little store. The folks took a picnic lunch and sold all the way to the wrong way. And there was a shelf, it was probably as high as a shelf had.
My boy,
they saw me. The stick of gum, this single stick of gum, sticking out about this far, just laying on that top counter, on the top shelf, sticking out about that far. I kept looking at it, chewing gum around, walking around, getting gum, chewing gum, and I wish I had some gum. I don't know if I'd ever chew any gum in my life. I suppose I must have.
I don't think so. I think
that's a good thing. Anyway, hell, got me in the head. I got my head stuck with gum. People in there, kids buying soy pop, chewing gum. I saw that sticking out there. My head stuck there, and I just pulled it out like this. Put it in my pocket. I knew better than steal, I knew it wasn't right.
How old were you?
Oh, 5 or 6 years old, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You were in school.
Yeah,
this is school
a little bit. And I got out of there. I said, what did I do if they happen to see me get that? They see me go out the door. I got back to where the folks were. I know about chewing that gum. No, they're not. They knew that I didn't have any money. Where did I get it? Well, I wasn't going to go. I chose the gum. I didn't know that. And my dear friend, that bothered me so bad. We had a picnic lunch. And I tailed it back down at that store. So people in there. Same place. I kind of sidled up there, you know. Meantime, I had that on the pocket, had in my hand, and I was stick them out. Not that much. I got out.
So you put it back.
Put it back.
Okay. Good.
But you know, I went to get the arrow, got in the shoe, and this or that, and part of the chocolate nowadays. But I never forgot that. I don't know how many people I told it. Well, that's good. Yeah. He wasn't out in it. Run a piece
of it. They were a Christian family.
Yeah, we raised that way. We weren't raised to go around.
Sunday school.
And the little church has been a part of our lives. It's helped us ever since our small stuff. Anyway, you had more questions.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm just taking the floor and apologizing.
No, that's good. I appreciate you sharing. When you you said that in high school then, that you came home and did chores on the weekends, but you also had time somewhere in there to date your wife. What did you do on your dates? What did people around here do for an outing together?
Back up just a little bit into high school days, the theaters had what they called a pal night. Every Thursday night, the movie picture downtown was on, 2 for a quarter, pal night. Built a picture show. Big spender, you know. I might have had $1. Oh, probably not $1. Maybe 75 cents. And there's a girl sat right across the hall, aisle from me. High school days, we had a homeroom, you know, where you counted noses there, and who was there, and who wasn't, whatever. And her dad was a district manager of the telephone company in the Grand. She was a only child, and she wore good clothes, and she had allowance. I didn't know what such a thing, allowance. You could get an allowance, and she was taking shorthand. I never took shorthand, but I was kind of interested in that. I'd peek her off during, before the classes took a still in her. Her name was Arlene Barber. Look at that little crooked line in the shorthand. Darling, what's that? Oh, that's so and so. She looks like me. Mm-hmm. That guy liked her. And we'd date once in a while, but she had this little allowance, and we'd go to Pal Night. Well, Wilma and I, of course, I was working there. Big money, $2 a day. Why shouldn't I? But, we're going to fix a picnic lunch. We go on a picnic and we're down Sunday. And she was raised in the Presbyterian Church, the Grand, and they had young people's meetings Sunday night. We go together to that. Did you go off with her?
Yeah,
well, Huckleberry.
Should I
tell
her
about? I never learned to swim, never did learn to swim, so I didn't go swimming. But,
yeah, we came out of the cold, swimming pool.
Yeah.
But we'd watch them swim.
Yeah.
I could have gone in because I had been there and I'd watch them. But, he couldn't, so we just watched them. But I want to tell you a little. My sister was 23 months older than I was, and she had quite a few boyfriends, and she wanted him. And this was probably 2 years, wasn't it? 2 or 3 years before I was out of high school. 3 years, because I was and he came to get her. He was her age. And he came to get her to, I think he was going to the movies, weren't you?
Well, I remember getting ready to fly back.
I don't remember that part either. but I was in what they called expression class. And I don't know if they call that now. We still have something like that.
What did you do in expression class?
Acting and what I was doing right then was making a scrapbook of
movie stars.
Oh.
And I had all my stuff down on the floor when we came to get Jeannie. And and I was cutting things, and he asked me if he could have some scissors and help. So I found him some scissors, and he sat down on the floor and helped me. And he didn't, you know, time went by, but he didn't realize it. And Jeannie was so gone because he was helping me, and they didn't look for the movie stars too late. But anyway, he was the only boyfriend that she had that I liked. And so when he decided to come and see me, I was out of school. No, I was out of high school.
Mm-hmm. Did I see you in high school yet?
When you start going with me?
No. But long ago.
Yeah, when you...
Scrapbook.
Yeah, I was only a freshman then.
Mm-hmm.
So... He went with him a while, but he didn't go with him very long. And then he decided that he would come and see me. And I was out of high school. And so he came. I don't think he even called before you came. I think he just came, didn't you? And anyway, he decided he'd go swimming. Well, I thought he was just coming to see her again. He'd been several years, but I hadn't even thought about it. Coming to see me. So I put her in the middle of the front seat and let go and that's me. And then he came again and we went to the movies. And I did the same thing and had her sit down. And when we got home that night, Jean said, well, she'd gone with him, but not very long. And so she says, I don't.
You missed the first part.
Yes.
Well, I can bet you show. In those days, I'd wear a striped overall, bib overall.
Brand new ones, and a white shirt, and a tie, and white shoes.
Wow.
And when he came to go to the movies, well, that was after this that I'm telling now, because I was going with you then. Well, anyway, back to where we were.
Mm-hmm.
The second time that he came, while we went to movies. And then he told his folks, he says, I'm not going to go back. Because he says, she pushes me on to Jean, and I don't want to go with Jean. So they had to rent some place or something, and then we decided to come in. And I was only at home. My folks had gone someplace, and Jean had gone someplace. And he didn't know where they were. But anyway, I had to leave Christian Endeavor that night at church.
Bottom line, we've been going together ever since.
Yeah. And so he came, and I said, well, Jean's not here. And he says, well, that's all right. I don't want Jean. Or something. I don't know what you said. Didn't come to see Jean.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, I have to leave Christian Endeavor tonight. He says, fine, I'll go with you. We've been going together ever since. But he had told him that if I wasn't, if I did the same thing with him, why he wasn't going to go back. That I was told him.
Another thing we used to do, we mentioned the horses earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The big old horse barn out here was long, so it's kind of gone now, but we used to hang the horseshoes up on a pole. This is the pole, the horseshoes are like this long on the pole. We pitch horseshoes. We just think for fun. I guess it didn't take much different things. But we done a lot of pitching horseshoes. That was, I say, never good at it like that. But
mm-hmm.
Oh, we kind of entertained ourselves, country kids, you know. Paid more work out, but
Well, let me ask you a different sort of question then, and that is, did you get the newspaper out here? Did you have a radio? What was your connection to the world, I guess?
Great. My grandmother, the woman mentioned great, granddad raised me. Mm-hmm. Oh, granddad, oh my. I don't think he had a third grade education. I don't think he did.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even sign his name when he was married.
Oh.
But anyway, my grandmother had a grade school education. She was a reader. She read a lot. She churned butter with a little churn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she liked the kitchen. She read the newspaper. She took a newspaper. She called it the Portland News Telegram.
Mm.
And would say it Monday morning paper, she'd get Wednesday about Wednesday noon.
Mail route,
rural mail route. Where do you live?
Mm-hmm.
Up around the hill. Cherry Arch is up there. I knew that route. I substituted on that mail route for a while one time. But she got up on the news, and old Mike, he couldn't hardly read. And he pretended to read, but he'd hold the paper up and he'd look over the top of it. So people would think
she taught him to write.
In 1935, of course that was long before the power line, electricity came into being.
Mm-hmm.
My dad bought an old, brand new Montgomery Ward battery radio. And it had a whole bunch of batteries. I expected the batteries alone probably weighed 50 pounds drive cell batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And it would get to, you heard of Amos and Andy and all the old guys we used to listen to. Radio program. Never mind.
Not Amos and Andy,
and
the other one.
Some of those old programs. But that was what they got in the newspaper to answer the question. And the battery radio. That's enough. Newspaper news. 3 or 4 days old, or maybe older than that, before my grandmother got home. She read it.
Did she share the news with you or read out loud?
She read out loud. Didn't read very fast, but
mm-hmm.
You go along with her finger on the line and never that, you know, we go up and out of here.
Did she read other things, other books like the Bible or stories?
Yes, she was raised a Mormon. I have her old Mormon Bible here in the house. And I remember her reading the Mormon Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And she read the Bible. And she took quite a few magazines. I remember the old Saturday Evening Post, a few of them around. Are they still around?
Yeah, they're still around. But it was a big one.
Yeah, quite a big one. It's about big
like
one.
That. And now they're just little regular magazines.
She read everything she could get a hold of, because they didn't have a lot to read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to my knowledge, she died in 1935. She had never heard of it.
Mm.
You mean television?
Hmm?
You mean television?
No, I mean radio.
Yeah,
radio.
Well, you said she had a radio with
batteries.
In 1935.
Oh, I see.
That's all she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What? Oh. Definitely was a little different pace than nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
the car. I think they moved much steadier, but they pretty steady here on the farm. But my buddy had a birthday. My dad said they were 6 feet in July, and they always had a big old wheel with three cups. They had a storm, or just give a name of story. Birthday party, remember, that's the 16th. Don't go with that. Neighbors come in and they had a big picnic, you know. Homemade ice cream and fried chicken. There was a lot of that soon. Mm-hmm.
So birthdays were a good time for partying and everybody getting together. What sort of games? Did you play games or just eat and fellowship?
Fellowship, mostly games. Oh, and then talk about how the hand was going and how the crops was growing. We didn't talk about how they made jelly or how it was a good way to do this.
What about you living in town? What was your life like as a child? Do you remember your parents reading much, or when you had a radio come in?
Not that classic radio. That was probably about the same time as
back. Your dad used to watch and listen to the boxing matches.
Yeah. But that was probably about the same year that they got a radio here. What year did you say that, right?
1935, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's probably when I got a radio. Yeah, crossing radio. Mother read quite a bit. Mother had been a teacher, and she had taught at Pumpkin Ridge School House.
Somerville area? Yeah. Oh! Mm-hmm.
She was the first teacher that I had my school. And in those days, they could teach right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was her. She lived in Ontario, and this was the first school that she got. And that's where she met my dad. He lived in Rocky. And mother read a lot, but daddy, his education was kind of like Manfred's dad's. He went to the fourth grade. But he could read. He could read the paper, and he was self-taught. He just did it himself. But he could read the paper. And they didn't read those kind of red books. But she didn't teach after they were married.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in a town, and daddy worked for the Union County. He wrote the road builder, Ray and Rose, and then got snow in the winter time. And they always had so much snow out of Somerville, and that's where most snow is this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out there one time, and they had lots of snow, and he was 48 hours before he got back home. But the people brought him food, and he went one place and stayed all night to do different kinds of things. But it was snowing, and there was a lot of snow, and he just stayed there. And what the people did not. But he worked at that for. He retired in. I think from 1943. Is that the year?
Do you remember?
Did
your mother read to you as a child?
Mm-hmm.
She said she read books. What sort of. Did she read children's stories to you?
Yes, what she read to us was children's stories. And we had Nancy Drew. Some of her relatives would give us the Nancy Drew books. And she'd read those to us.
Mm-hmm.
Till we were old enough to read. But then when we were old enough to read, I would get those names. She always bought books for us.
Do you like blowing up on your coffee?
I think I'm doing really fine, thank you for asking. Well, let's see, another question I can ask. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you. Nowadays, we really recognize the pioneers that came out here to on the Oregon Trail, and you were sort of, Manfred, your folks were sort of part of that, but quite a bit after that, they were pioneers coming out here to farm from Kansas. When you were growing up, did anybody talk about the pioneers coming over, and did you study that in school? Do people think about that much?
I don't seem like I remember much about it. I'll tell you one thing that I remember talking about. They had this part of the company made it come about by the government. Get people to settle, to come from the east to the west part of the United States, to settle land. And they had a deal, and they instigated what they call the pioneer training. A pioneer training. Railroad passage. And they say that there's a family, man and his family, wife and children, and they have a little. If you have a livestock, maybe have a few cows or a few horses, or they had a walking cow or a little farm machinery. You encourage those people to come to Washington, Oregon, and the railroad through the government is called it the Pioneer Train. They had a coach, a passenger coach. The wife and children could ride in that, but the man couldn't. They had a cabin car that hauled the livestock, but they had some horses and cows and a sheep. He'd ride in that. That was free. But he had to pay the freight on the horses, the livestock. But the wife and the children, they rode the camp pasture coach. They had a place where they could get something to eat on a trip out. Well, that's how my old granddad, old Mike, and baby. My dad was a baby. Come to Oregon. And they pulled into Oregon in the wintertime, snow on the ground. About all they had was a boat on the back, but they didn't have much for money. Of course, they got free passage on the train.
Right.
The wife and the children. They talked about hard times, of course, hard work. And in this book here, you'd like to read that, take it home, with one stipulation.
I give it back.
Yes. Because there's not very many of them around. I've let people have them different times.
She did have them made though for our children. All about four of those Saturdays.
Yes.
It's a wonderful book. She did a lot of research for it, and she's a good writer. We'd like to get her to write another one now for this generation. Because this is all a generation of the grandparents.
Wow.
But it'll tell you more in a better way than a lot of things that they've done. Some things that have worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that in there. But anyway, some of the men worked in logging camps, some worked on the road. Now, I've heard my dad and granddad, or my granddad, talk about the road tax. They had a road tax. Everybody pays taxes. And you pay taxes to keep up the roads. If they could work on these dirt roads, they could put in a new culvert, or they could build a, they call them drags, or drag the ruts down those empty dirt roads. And they could get a team of horses, they'd have a plow, they call the road plow, and they could do some plow a ditch along the road or something, and drain the water or drain it. But they could work out their road plow.
Oh, so instead of paying it, they put the labor into it.
Yes, they would labor. They'd allow them so much for a team of horses.
And that was your grandfather?
Yes. My grandfather worked on it. He used to work. I don't have any idea. That's his word. I don't think I ever heard him say it, but he was there. It was real money, and they didn't have much of that. Mm-hmm. So.
A lot of people in the county did look out their tax.
I mentioned the old farmer's telephone line. Old right off, the farmer's out, he set that pole. It was long enough, he set sometimes. Set another post in by it and then wire it, tie it up to it, to that stud post.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were hardy people, and they were people that, you'll see that in this book, mm-hmm. Wanting to have something.
Okay.
I
got it out when we had this little meeting scheduled here to talk about the old days. And I talked more idea. I still enjoy the old days. All the dumb things. I'll tell you something about the old days. It was almost before my time, but I did this thing. It was down to the walking car. I never done a walk down at the time, but that. When you come to Harold and you put a crown down, we didn't have a harl. Well, not here. The harl or down. But we did have thorn bush that grew along the riverbanks. Farmers in those days, the young farmers, more the old farmers, they probably started out with a thorn bush for a harl. But they cut that off. They tend to cut three of them old bushes, cut them off like the ground. And they pulled the trunks together like this, and one down the middle, and they tie it. And they put a chain on them. The trunk of those team of horses, or three horses, or whatever it took to pull that brush with our old ground.
Wow.
I done a little of that. We didn't have a harl. I got a harl. All we had, and so we had good machinery, good combine, good tractors. Had a bulldozer. I don't mean to say, but we had good machinery, and I enjoyed it, and I took good care of it, built a good shop, and still got that. I like to go out and file away some time and tinker around.
Mm-hmm. We built our garage and our shop and our barn, and then there's another shed out there.
I have to ask this question, it's only because I'm ignorant, and that is, harrowing the ground, is that... like I see when I drive through the valley, the humps of ground
all up and
straightened out.
Okay. Sticking up. Yeah. We like to fall plow, even with the tractors. They break up body, which it lay up in the winter, and they're freezing and thawing, and slack those clods, and they pile down much, much nicer in the spring. We've done a lot of that. Dry fall, I remember one fall here, there was no exception. You wanted to get the fall plow done, because we could get on in the spring of the year, earlier, get a seat there, there. And it's so dry, bodies all dry. But cattle drove in too tired. Just walk right along through that. But what they've done is where they drive park down where the plowshares are. And get the plowshares on. But they've done a lot of that fall time. I made the seat that better. But as I said, the breathing of falling the slack was dry. We thought, and it cleaned the stubble under it. We wasn't much for burning. The grass field, we couldn't have fun. And straw. We got rid of grass diseases, and we got rid of them.
And now they don't. They're trying to get them to invent something that they can put on it so they don't have to burn.
Well, they bale it. I saw big bales, big stacks, humongous stacks.
They're gigantic. Mm-hmm.
That's what that comes from the grass fields. And they tell me they're cutting a lot of down the Idaho someplace. I
yes,
say
sir.
They raise toadstools. Their real name is mushrooms. I don't care. I don't care the toadstools. Now they raise a lot of
the mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Huh. Yeah. And that's the biggest. It's close to Caldwell, isn't it?
Down in that area.
Caldwell. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think that's the biggest mushroom raising place if it is in Oregon.
I know that mushrooms like dark places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put that straw on, plant the mushrooms and put
keep
straw
moist.
On
top.
Right, and yeah. Covered from the sun. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Most of the straw comes, a lot of the straw comes from this valley, and I suppose Vapor Valley too.
Well, they raise more hay over there.
Oh.
This Emperor area I mentioned earlier, about it was in the Grass Trades magazine, it mentioned Ambler, Oregon, was considered the bluegrass capital of the world. Maybe that propaganda, maybe advertising to see, I don't know. I've seen all these
things. Didn't they call it the United States? But there wasn't grass raised any place else except the United States.
Right.
They raised a lot of that better seed. They, O.M. Scott people, were so concerned about raising clean seed. They say people already got weeds. They don't want to pay buy grass seed, but weed seed did.
Mm-hmm.
They want to clean. They had a program in connection with Oregon State College.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd hire kids, O.M. Scott, hire kids, college kids, to come out and walk those fields in the growing season, spring season, before harvest season, and then more so in the growing season. Checking for weeds, noxious weeds. They turned that field down to the college. In Oregon State, tested with Oregon State College, checked the foot for it. Not by mocking them wood, I guess. Wilma and I never had a field put down.
But we worked hard on it. The man that was his name.
Scott?
No, that you said got you into the pasture.
Oh, George Royce.
George Royce. He says, do it yourself, you'll get it done better. We hired some kids from the college, and they came out, and we went down the road after they did.
Hold behind them.
And hold behind them. So we finally, we didn't have them very long.
Yeah.
Because we weren't getting them out.
So your grasses were inspected then?
Yes.
that didn't pass that. It's getting harder to catch it.
Yeah.
But see, we had contracts with them. $1, $10, a pound, pack of 15. It made the, they called it easy test. That was for Jersey. We three, off-pipe, grassy. $1, $10, a pound. Again, Paul Harvey was getting a really good night. We had, I think, 3 cars. The Rio Reyes and Tom, the V, R, C, R, A.
Was it hard to be expected?
On that count, it took a lot of them old stairs and bumps off the whole line, I'll tell you that.
Well, a lot of the things that we have and have had, we used to have a travel trailer, and a lot of things that we got was bought with grass money we'd have never had if we hadn't raised grass, because you don't make that kind of money.
Yeah.
And you know, I could drive you around the valley and show you the people that's raised farm trucks or grass seed. They were the better farmers to start with. And they were the ones that got the better machinery, got new homes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are places, I had a banker tell me one time, he said, I can drive around the valley here, not know where you live, or where you live. Never kept farmers that taken pride in the farm. There is no old machinery and old junk. Except you've seen that place around the valley. I can tell you whether or not they're making any money. If their places are junky, the land, they farm just like to keep the place. And if they're not making any money. But that's the way they're farming in the field. They're not making any.
Like you said, it was only one of the 4 boys that opted to stay with the land. And he's always loved his land. And taken good care of it. And
I had a good girl to help me.
There's no junk.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice. Well, speaking of your property here, I bought a camera, it's a digital camera, so it doesn't use any film, so hopefully the battery will keep it powered. But I'd like to get a picture of the two of you, and I think perhaps a picture of these buildings that you built.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mind.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, can you think of anything, any parting words that you would like to share?
It's been fun. It's been fun to meet you. I know where that new home is, how beautiful it is. And again, that place shows pride.
Yes.
A little pride. If you don't have a little pride, it's pretty short. Pretty short.
Yeah.
Do you have hobbies?
I do actually. I